This morning, as we come and we continue to look at our series this summer, we've been talking about Revealed, and we've been talking about the miracles of Jesus. We started in the 8th chapter of Matthew, and folks, if you stop and you think about Jesus and you think about the disciples and you think about how the disciples had basically just been kind of getting started with Jesus. They'd heard the Sermon on the Mount. They're probably pretty confused. They're thinking, you know, we've said we're going to follow this guy. We know that he is very, very special. He may be the Son of God. So we're really not 100% sure just yet, but we're in the process of following him, making sure that he's who he says he is. Can you imagine really having been called to be a disciple and following Jesus and not really understanding everything there is? Jesus didn't send everybody to school. He just said, come follow me. Come on, go with me. He didn't say we're going to have a class and it's going to be about a three-month class and I'm going to teach you boys some stuff about how we're going to do this. He didn't do that. He just said, come follow me. And they did. You know, as we look at these miracles in chapter 8, and we see that Jesus is the King. He is everything. He is God's Son. He is our Redeemer. He is everything that we could ever hope to have. But what he is trying to show the disciples, I think, here in chapter 8 and 9 as well, but in chapter 8, I think where we've been so far, that he is trying to show the disciples, look, boys, I am the one that has all control over all sickness. I control the diseases. I control all sickness. If you believe, I control. If you don't believe, then you don't, you know, you're no different than anybody else. And then we see him, you know, after we saw him start with the leprosy, the man that had leprosy, and then the Roman soldier that had the sick servant. And we saw him just touch the one with leprosy, speak the word that the one would be healed to the soldier, because he said, I've never seen such faith. And then we went on to see him heal Peter's mother-in-law. And then he talked about, after that, about the cost of following him. And here's where we're at, kind of, sort of, right now. There's a cost to following Jesus. We've told you about that on different Sundays. But then he went on and he calmed the storm. He's not only the God of sickness and disease. He's the God over all creation. He's the God over everything. And he calmed the storm. He spoke to the wind and the storm died down. He was asleep. He was asleep. Can you imagine, as Brian was talking last week, about being in the front of the boat asleep? And we don't really ever hear about Jesus sleeping. I mean, he didn't talk about how good a night's sleep he got or how bad. You know, he was always there for everyone. But he was in the boat, kind of taking him a nap. And we see that the disciples were so scared that this boat's fixing to break up. It's fixing to, we're going to be drowned. And really and truly what Jesus said, if you don't like it up in this boat, why don't you get out and walk on the water? Because I'm right here with you. You can do that if you believe in me, you know. But they were so scared that they were going to perish. And so we saw that Brian was teaching us last week that he is the creator of everything. This week, as we move into the 28th verse, Jesus is sending out demons out of a couple of guys. And I want us to stop and think about this, folks. We know that he is the one that cures sickness. He's the one that calms storms. Here we are talking about the devil. Now we got something going on here, because the devil thinks he's got as much power as Jesus, although he knows he don't. He knows his place. But he would love for you to believe that he has as much or more power than Jesus Christ does. He don't, folks. He'll offer you the world. He'll lie to you. He'll tell you anything in the whole free world, everything that you want to hear. And it's all a lie. You sometimes have to live through a lot of life to figure all of this out, that everything of the world is a lie. If it's from God, it's the truth. That's the only truth. So we kind of have to figure this out. But here we see in the scripture today, as we read this through the scripture, and then we'll come back and talk about it a little bit. Jesus has got in the boat. He's gone across the other side of the lake to the Gadarenes. And when he gets there, there's two men. They're demon-possessed. They got the devil all in them. I don't have to go across the lake to see it today. I can go up here at the store and see them. They got the devil all in them. I mean, last night, about midnight, we was watching Cops. And this one dude had demon wrote all over him everywhere. He wanted to be a demon. He probably was a demon. The way he acted, he was a demon. But, you know, you can go up here anywhere and find them. They are demon-possessed, folks. They do not know anything about their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so he gets in the boat and he crosses the lake. When Jesus arrived on the other side of the lake in the region of the Gadarenes, two men who were possessed by demons met him. They lived in a cemetery and were so violent that no one could go through that area. They began screaming at him, "Why are you interfering with us, Son of God? Have you come here to torture us before God's appointed time?" There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding in the distance, so the demons begged, If you cast us out, send us into that herd of pigs." "All right, go," Jesus said. Jesus commanded them. So the demons came out of the men and entered the pigs, and the whole herd plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. The herdsmen fled to the nearby town, telling everyone who happened to what happened to the demon-possessed men. Then the entire town came out to meet Jesus, but they begged him to go away and leave them alone. This is the reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, folks, as we see the reading of God's word and we see what's going on here, can you imagine? It could be the same way today. Can you imagine walking down the sidewalk by Joe Mayhem Ford, and you get to the cemetery, and there's two guys living out there in that cemetery, and they come running at you, and they're just tormenting you, scaring you to death, and you run from them to get away from them. You don't want them biting you or scratching you or hitting you. You run from them. Heck, we get going. My granddad and grandmother live where Joe and Jerry's is at. That was their home place. And up above that, there was an old house, and I never did see the man, but Daddy'd tell us there's an old guy in there, he'd go get y'all, because we'd want to go to the Dairy Queen up on the corner. And that was before it was the Dairy Queen. You had to walk up Mortar. And we'd get there, and we'd fly. I mean, we'd run like crazy to get by that old house. Then we'd come back, we'd run real hard and get by it. So, you know, there was times when us as kids, we were scared of different things that really didn't amount to a whole lot, but Mom and Dad would tell you things that would kind of keep you wound up about some stuff. But here they are. They're coming by the cemetery. They can't even go to the cemetery to visit the grave of their loved one because these people that are living there, these two guys that are demon-possessed. And so we know that when Jesus comes to the other side of the lake and he encounters these two men that are living in these tombs, then they begin screaming at Jesus. They begin to holler at him. And they said to him, "Why are you interfering with us, Son of God?" They knew who he was. They knew exactly who he was. The demons in them knew it was the Son of God. "Have you come here to torture us before God's appointed time?" You see what they're saying? They knew God. They knew Jesus probably better than the people there. because we're going to look at this just in a minute. They knew that this was Jesus Christ, God's appointed Son. They knew that He had authority over them. Now, they had been able to buffalo everybody around them. They had been able to scare everybody to death. They had been able to do everything. But when Jesus walked up into the cemetery, they did holler at Him. But that's as far as it went, because they could not. They knew they had no authority over this man. Did you come just to aggravate us? What are you doing here? What are you going to do with us? Is what they're thinking. We want to live right where we're living, right with these guys. I don't want to give up, Mike, is what them demons were saying. Folks, I've been there. I've had a demon in me when I did not want the demon to move out. I didn't want the devil to move out. I didn't want them to go anywhere. I wanted everybody to leave me alone and let me live my life like I was living it. It's nothing wrong with the way I'm living my life. Yes, it is. It's not only affecting you, it's affecting everyone around you. Yes, it is. But you see, they didn't know. But where did the devil have them? That's what you really got to stop and think about. They were happy living in the tomb. They were happy with the devil in them. The demons were happy to be in them. And they didn't know any different. They didn't know that there was something better with it, you know, through Jesus Christ. Folks, today we don't know what's ahead for us through Jesus Christ. We don't know how good we can have it by following Jesus Christ. We think that when He says it's going to cost you something to give and you'll have to give up something, then you will have to give up everything. That's not true. You don't have to give up everything. You will be gaining everything. You will be taking on a new life. But folks, He had them living amongst the dead. Some of the dead that had died outside of Christ. They had died and was in tune with the devil. And the devil had these people living with them people that had died. That's where He put them. Because He had them right where the other folks was that had done passed. They passed in the devil. They passed not knowing who Jesus was. And He said, here, go over here and live with these boys. They done gone, but you can hang out there. They'll be glad to see you. You know, no, we're not going to do that. But that's what was happening. And when they realized that Jesus was going to make them leave them guys, when they realized that Jesus was going to heal the two that were demon-possessed, they begged Jesus to let them go into a herd of pigs. You see, it was a region that was mostly Gentiles. The Jews didn't have hogs or pigs. They didn't have anything like that. It was mostly Gentiles. And so we see that they were going into a herd of pigs, probably around 2,000 hogs, that they went into that run off a steep cliff into the river, into the lake, and drowned. You talking about some money? I've seen hogs pretty cheap, but if it wasn't but a dollar a piece, that was $2,000. And back in, that was a lot of money. A lot of money. And what happened? The people that were tending to the hogs run to town to tell the herdsmen, the people that owned the hogs, what had happened. They run to town to tell them, hey, guess what? Those demons come out of them guys in that cemetery, and they went in them hogs, and they run down that hill, and they drown. They just cost you a bunch of money, dude. And the guys were tore down. Everybody was. Everybody in the whole city was tore up because of what had happened. Folks, today, when we see demons in people, and you do, you may not acknowledge it. You may not say that that's what's going on, but you see demons living in people today. And when Jesus touches their heart and touches their lives and they're moved out and they come to know Jesus Christ and they move into the house of the Lord to worship Him and to be in His presence each and every day, whether it be right here in church or whether it be outside of church, and you can be on a tractor. You can be anywhere in the field. You can be anywhere you want to be. You can be at the desk. And you know that you're in the presence of the Lord. You know he has you. You know, as we read for the pouring of the water, that he has made you, he has you, and he is going to watch over you. He is not going to let anything happen to you. And when you do, that day comes, and you will, the day that you do die, then you will be, he will hold you in his hand, and you will be his. And he will have prepared a place for you a lot better than anything here on this earth. So much better. And so here we see that the people of the town have come to see Jesus. You know, can you imagine if Jesus come to Paris and he healed a couple of the, probably, let's just say, a couple of homeless people that really wasn't followers of him and made them followers of him? What church would be recruiting them homeless people to come and to sit with them on Sunday morning? What church would be there to say, I'm telling you, I'm so happy that you've accepted Jesus Christ. I want you to come and be with us Sunday morning. How many would be there? There wouldn't be very many. There wouldn't be very many even asking them to come and be with them, because they're probably going to be stinky, and they're not going to be the quality people that you would like to be around. So nobody's going to be inviting them. And so then they don't get invited. They don't get taught anything. They don't get welcomed in any kind of way of being a child of God. And the people are saying, basically what they're saying, folks, are looking around and they're saying, Jesus, you ain't got a follower one that's doing anything for these people. You ain't got anybody that's wanting to love on these people. Why don't you just leave? You have cost us enough money as it is. Just leave. Just go on about your life and leave. One time we was at a yard sale, and this guy had a bicycle for sale. And before I knew he had the bicycle, I was interested in the bicycle. I thought he'd get two. He had two of them. I thought I'd get them. Me and Tammy might take them to the park and ride them around. That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? And so I got on the bicycle, and long story short, and I wrecked the bicycle and tore it up. So I told him, I said, I'll pay you for the bicycle. I mean, you know, I don't want to be one to tear up your bicycle and not pay you for it. But anyway, I didn't know the thing. I'd never been on one, Wayne, that had brakes on the handlebars. That's a long time ago. And I was trying to break it with my legs, and it was a car coming, and I'm going right out, and I'm saying, hey, wait, this ain't going to work. So I had to get in the ditch, and it messed up everything. So, you know, we sometimes we see these things, and then after that, there was some bumblebees in an old Jeep, and I was up there looking at it, and they got all over everybody and run everybody off from his yard sale, and he said, if you would, sir, just leave. That was his words. If you would, sir, just leave. I said, I can do that. So you can imagine these people saying, kind of like the yard sale guy. He's saying, sir, if you would, just leave. They didn't want anything that Jesus had to offer them. They did not know what Jesus had to offer them. They did not know that Jesus could offer them eternal life. They did not know, folks, that they could be reconciled. They could have been reconciled to Jesus and what that town would have had that they did not have. It was a town, one of the 10 towns, one of the big 10 towns that had the ability to have really been a witness for Christ. But they didn't. They said, just leave, sir, if you would. I understand how Jesus must have felt, because they didn't desire him to be there. He had nothing that they wanted. And you know, I guess if it was us today, we would say, wait a minute, let me tell you who I am. I'm Jesus Christ. I'm the one that can offer you life. I'm the one that can offer you things that you cannot imagine. And we would want to tell them about Jesus, but would we? Well, you see, Jesus didn't push himself on them. They didn't desire anything that Jesus could have given them. And so they asked him to leave. And today, I think we, as people, I don't care where you're at, whether you're in Memphis or Paris or Nashville, I don't care where you're at. We, as people, desire Jesus Christ just to leave. Leave us alone right now, Lord. We're down here in the middle of town. We're trying to do some business. And last thing I need you is for you to be pushing me to be a disciple of yours. That's the last thing I need. I don't need you right now, Lord. I'll talk to you tonight. We'll get back squared back up when we get where we're just one-on-one. You think people do that today? Sure they do. Every one of us do it, folks. I don't care who you are. You can be the preacher. You can be the teacher. You can be the one sitting here in the pew. You have a tendency to welcome Jesus when it's convenient for you, not when it's convenient for Jesus. Maybe not when he has something for you to do, but when it's convenient for you, is when you like to see Jesus and you like to talk to Jesus. And you like to be with Jesus. When you're amongst your buddies, when you're amongst the crowd that you like to hang with and run with, we just assume that Jesus really leaves us alone because we're not going to really be wanting to talk about Jesus. I've told y'all a million times that when you change your life, when you change your life like I changed my life, like I was demon-possessed, I was like one that was living in the cemetery. I was like one that did not need for Jesus in my, I had no need for Jesus in my life. Totally satisfied. Totally satisfied. But when I changed my life, those folks that was living in that cemetery, folks, they had to move. They had to go somewhere else, I'm sure, and find them a place to live. And when you do, you won't have any friends when you get there. All the friends that you had and knew, all of them people that you knew from being in the time and the life of the devil, they're not going to be around when you get to where you're going in your walk with the Lord. They're not going to be there. And that's okay. That's really okay. More than you think. It's okay. So you just remember that when Jesus, he takes these demons away from you, when he takes them and does away with them, and he drowns them in a herd of pigs. And he says, you're not coming back to Mike Wimberly. You're not coming back to live in his life. You're going to be gone. You're gone forever. That we should be rejoicing and telling everyone what Jesus Christ has done. Amen. Tell everyone what Jesus has done in our lives. Folks, it's a time in the world that we live in right now. It's a time that we cannot afford not to tell these people about Christ. It is a time that we've got to turn some things around. We've got to. We don't have a choice. These kids that we love so much and have had at camp all week, these are our future. They are the future church. But if we're going to leave them anything to work with, we have got to start talking about Jesus Christ out here in the world that we live in. We've got to start preparing for them a place here on this earth to live and to work. The fields are white. They're white for picking. They're white. Cotton is popping out of the bowls. Are you going to pick cotton? Are you going to pick cotton for Jesus? Or are you just going to watch it and it's going to all hit the ground? It's not going to be any good to anybody. And that's where we're at, folks, in the world that we're living in. That cotton bowl, if we would go and pick it, at least we would get some fruit from it. We would get the fruit of having a shirt. We would get the fruit of having some pants made from it. We would get the fruit of having a car seat made out of it. But if we don't pick it, if we're not concerned about it, and it falls on the ground and it's no good to anyone, it's not going to be long until we're going to be in bad, bad shape. We're going to be hiding ourselves from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have to stop and we have to ask ourselves, folks, where are we at in our walk with the Lord? Where are we at with our relationship? Where are we at with our relationship with the Lord when it comes to the community? You see, we can say, well, I'm good with my personal relationship. That's fine. But if you walk out of this door and you don't know Jesus after you get out this door, then it's not fine. It's not fine. And every week, I don't care. I could tell you this week I missed a wonderful opportunity. I missed a wonderful opportunity. Every week, if you tell me, Mike, I didn't miss an opportunity this week. I was on top of it. I didn't miss an opportunity. All I'm saying is you're not seeing nobody. Because if you're seeing people, you're missing opportunities to witness for the Lord. And you don't have to be one to run up and grab them and say, hey, let me tell you something. That's not exactly what I'm talking about. But they see the way you live your life. They see Christ in you. So think about that as you go back into this world. Folks, think about what these people said to Jesus. They were saying, they begged him to go away and leave them alone. That's exactly where we're at today in America. Exactly where we're at. It won't work, folks. It did not work for these people, and it will not work for us. And the only way it's going to get better is for us to start opening our mouth and telling others about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.